I'm Duarte Geraldino, Deputy Managing Business Editor for AlJazeera.com, in for Tanzina Vega, who's on maternity leave. Welcome to The Takeaway.
Michigan, Mississippi, Missouri, North Dakota, Idaho, Washington State, you will be heard.
I think the American people in this incredibly complicated and difficult moment in our history are entitled to thoughtful answers to the crises we face.
Today is the second big multi-state contest of the Democratic primary, and there's a lot at stake. People in six states vote today. Joe Biden and Bernie Sanders are the two frontrunners remaining. Now, for Senator Sanders, this is a chance to show that he's still competitive in this primary. He's hoping some Michigan momentum might give him the type of upset he had in 2016 when he beat Hillary Clinton in that state despite lagging in the polls by double digits beforehand. The Muslim vote is key in Michigan. Sanders has so far been dominating it. And on Super Tuesday, he won almost 60% of the Muslim vote. That's more than double the support Muslim voters showed Joe Biden.
In Arabic, uncle, you say Ammu. So when I say Ammu, you say Bernie. Ammu!
Bernie.
Ammu!
Bernie.
I say Habibi, you say Bernie. Habibi!
Bernie.
Habibi!
Bernie.
Now, there are only about 1 to 200,000 Muslim voters in Michigan. But if this turns out to be a close contest, Muslim voters could be the deciding factor. But is it enough to help Bernie Sanders pull off an upset in Michigan and change the course of this race? And why are Muslim Americans supporting Bernie Sanders in such large numbers? Joining us to discuss this is Aisha Khan. She's a reporter at the Religious News Service. And Yousef Shahood is also here. He's a political science professor at Christopher Newport University. Thank you both for being here.
Thanks for having me.
Good to be with you.
Aisha, why have Muslim voters been supporting Bernie Sanders in such large numbers compared to other candidates in this race?
The issue is there's a desire for structural change. Biden has kind of presented himself and marketed himself as a candidate who will provide consistency, a return to normalcy is his phrase. There's no desire for normalcy to go back to that era for Muslim Americans. There's the desire for just to turn the political system upside down and build from the start in a way that Senator Sanders has really promised.
Turning the political system upside down, Yousef. That's how Aisha portrays it. Now, Dearborn, Michigan is home to the largest Muslim population in the United States. How do you think that will factor into the primary?
Well, you know, Muslims as a percentage of the American population are a fairly small proportion. So they're never going to be a so-called swing vote on a national scale. But when you narrow the scope geographically, and particularly when you think about state level races and primaries within states, well, then they actually have a chance at that point to effectively move the needle. You know, last time around in the 2016 primary in Michigan, the Arab American and Muslim American vote was credited in part with giving candidate Sanders at that time his surprise win. Now, the polls this time around seem equally, if not perhaps a bit more challenging for Bernie Sanders. So we'll have to see how it goes. But certainly the turnout among Muslim and Arab Americans will be decisively for Bernie Sanders.
You mentioned they may not be a deciding vote on a national level, but so much of politics is local. And right now we live in an era where cities and towns are really redefining what America is. So when you look at Dearborn, Michigan, and you say that Muslim Americans could be a swing vote in that area, that becomes especially significant, Yousef.
This is a position that, quite frankly, Muslims and Arab Americans are simply not used to, both in the sense of just being considered a voting constituency that needs to be acknowledged and courted, and being considered as a constituency worthy of reaching out to, and not simply a community that gets talked about when certain negative headlines reach the broader media.
Aisha, you heard Yousef talk about Muslim Americans being a constituency that some politicians have to look at as being worthy of reaching out to. How is Bernie Sanders' support of the Muslim community when, to be frank, it wasn't always politically advantageous to do so.
Right. So when Barack Obama was campaigning, there was a famous incident where two hijab-wearing Muslim women appeared behind him at a rally, and some of his staff removed them. That's kind of been the traditional way of looking at Muslims. You know, you don't want to be too closely aligned with them, especially somebody like Obama, who already had these kinds of rumors swirling about him. But you don't see that with Senator Sanders, which has really been an incredible experience for a lot of Muslim Americans. For example, you see Linda Sarsour, who since 2016 has been his campaign surrogate. You know, she's caught a lot of heat for a lot of her statements on Palestine and, you know, her involvement in the Women's March and other things. But you never seen Bernie try to pull her out or try to hide his association with her. His campaign manager is the first Muslim American to be the head of a major campaign in the U.S., which really is a big, stunning change for Muslim Americans to see that kind of consideration.
Yusuf, how, in your view, is Senator Sanders' campaign different from, say, President Barack Obama's when it comes to the Muslim vote?
You know, as Aisha mentioned, you know, there was that incident in Detroit, and many of your, you know, listeners may not really recall it. However, within the American Muslim community, this was shared widely. Now, to President Obama's credit, they apologized. It was the act of volunteers, and the campaign went and rectified that afterwards. But it does speak to this, you know, symbolic and oftentimes, you know, actual distance between the Obama administration and American Muslims. And you know, another case in point is President Obama didn't visit an American mosque until very late in his second term in office. Khaled Beydoun, a law professor and Detroit native, noted the other day that Bernie Sanders visited somewhere in the vicinity of perhaps, you know, half a dozen mosques when he went to you know, talk to Muslims during the Michigan primary in 2016. And if that's the case, then he visited more mosques just in that one stint in Michigan than both President Obama and President Bush did during their entire terms in office. So that is really sad. Like, Bernie Sanders is really putting his money where his mouth is. Like, he's not simply talking the talk. I mean, he really is, you know, trying to not just simply reach out to Muslim voters, but, you know, genuinely comes across to Muslim voters that he actually cares about their well-being.
If you're just joining us, we're talking about the impact of the Muslim vote. So, you know, there's this narrative that is always seems to be on autoplay in the USA of Jews versus Muslims. And it is on repeat. Given that narrative, Aisha, how does Muslim support for Senator Sanders, who is Jewish, challenge that?
I think this is something that a lot of folks, you know, even within my newsroom, have been surprised by this fervor that Muslim American voters have for Bernie Sanders, that, oh, you know, isn't he Jewish or isn't he atheist or whatever? You know, he is Jewish. You know, why are Muslim Americans supporting him? But Muslim Americans themselves are not at all surprised by that idea. It's, you know, there's a long history of Jewish-Muslim solidarity in America. And actually, it's Senator Sanders, who is a Jewish American, who has the most progressive vision for the Palestine-Israel conflict. And, you know, that doesn't go far enough for most Muslim American voters that I talk to. They wish that he would go further, but they recognize that he has, you know, a history. His family was deeply affected by the Holocaust, and that resonates with them, that, you know, he comes from a background that really understands the toll, and that really resonates with American Muslims.
Yusuf, what are some of the other issues that Muslim communities in particular are prioritizing, and how does that line up with the Sanders platform?
You know, his economic policies, certainly healthcare, but also you know, tuition and just his more broader economic justice plan appeals to a large segment of the Muslim population who are, you know, not really experiencing the American dream, as it were. Somewhere in the vicinity of 1/3 of Muslim households are at or below the federal poverty level. level. And so the economic realignment that Sanders administration would put forward is very appealing, both to these lower income households within the Muslim community, but also for those in the Muslim community that value social justice more broadly.
Aisha, it's a sensitive topic, but the issue of surveillance in Muslim American communities in the USA can be touchy. How is the shadow of that issue affecting voters during this primary?
I think the most prominent place that you saw it was definitely the reaction to Mayor Bloomberg's candidacy. He immediately apologized upon announcing his candidacy for Stop and Frisk because of so much pressure was put on him. But he didn't apologize for the warrantless surveillance of New York and New Jersey area Muslims, just across the board, restaurants, mosques, Muslim student associations at universities. And he didn't apologize for that. And he actually continued defending it during his campaign. Now that he's out of the race, I think it's coming down to Biden's record as part of the Obama administration versus that of what Sanders is promising. Under the Obama administration, the Countering Violent Extremism federal program was kind of enacted, implemented nationally, which ostensibly partnered with grassroots Muslim community leaders and tried to guide young Muslims away from the path of radicalization. But in fact, that really kind of created a lot of friction between the White House and law enforcement, as well as Muslims. And Muslims kind of saw themselves as, why are we being the sole focus of this countering violent extremism policy as opposed to, white nationalists and other sorts of domestic extremism. And Sanders has really talked about moving away from that model and instead focusing on white nationalism as the biggest threat within the U.S. in terms of extremism.
Aisha Khan is a reporter at Religious News Service. Youssef Shahood is a political science professor at Christopher Newport University. Thank you both for joining us.
Thank you for having us.
Thanks for having me.